Thank you for the privilege of being able to just return to you what is rightfully yours, Lord. Thank you for giving us the strength and the physical ability dat ons werke kan hê om inkomste te verdien en dat ons iets het om terug te saai in ander mense se lewens en vanaand terug in die koninkryk en seën elke individu wat in geloof gesaai het vanoggend in Jesus se wonderlike naam. Amen en amen. Bless you. The folks that were baptized this morning, would you please come to the front? If you're dressed and all the folks, please just come stand here in front. We'd just like to present you with your baptism certificates. If you got baptized this morning and it was not prearranged and you didn't get your certificates, then have they got it? You see, that's what happens when you're married to somebody that can administrate like the Holy Spirit. So, blijkbaar het julle julle certificate al. So, okay. Congratulations, if you do not have your certificate, please see Madeleine. Madeleine, would you just make a noise? Okay, Madeleine can't make a noise. But if you do not know who Madeleine is, speak to anybody else that's making a noise. They'll know who Madeleine is. There's Madeleine. There's Madeleine, and you can get your certificate from her there. I'm just going to ask Johnny to pray a final blessing over each and every single one of you. It might have been a pleasure for you this morning, but I can give you my word. It is my honor and my privilege and my pleasure to om hierdie gedeelte van julle lewens saam met julle te kon gedeel het vanoggend. So, with the rest of us, would you just extend your hands as a sign of blessing and appreciation for God this morning for enabling us to share in this wonderful opportunity. Dankie, Johnny.
Wil net hier vir julle sê wat u voorstaan, my ervaring van doop is, ek en my pa gevra, kan ek na die AG's kerk toe gaan? Toe sê jy bly weg van die damduikers af. Want hy het in my ingegloei, elke Sondag word jy gedoop. So dit is toen nou nie so nie. My kind het een dag my gevra, Dada, hoekom word klein babekies nie ook groot gedoop nie? Sê ek, omdat hulle nog nie groot is nie. So, kom ons maak hierdie oote. Papa Vader, ons weet die engele juig in die hemel vandag. Ons weet, Here, dat hulle jubel en juig, dat hulle liedere sing en muziek maak, Here, vir dit wat vandag hier so gebeur het, nie die mense se lewens. Here, maar nie net die engele is opgewonde nie, ons ook wat hier so sit. Ons is opgewonde, saam met elkeen van hierdie persone wat die groot stap geneem het. Here, mag dit vir hulle altyd bybly. Mag hulle hierdie boodskap vorentoe vat, mag hulle nie stil bly nie, Here, dat hulle opgewonde kan getuig, dat hulle wel hulle laat doop het, en dat hulle vir die eerste 3 mense, Here, wat hulle gaan raakloop, gaan vertel, ek is gedoop, ek is gedoop, ek is gedoop, ons is so blij en dankbaar daar, Here, seën elkeen van hulle, Here, raak hulle behoeftes aan, gee vir hulle wat hulle bekommernisse is, Here, en laat het verdwyn, so ver as wat die ooste van die weste af is, Here, gee vir hulle sterkte vir die pad van vandag af vorentoe. Here, daar waar daar versoekings gaan kom, bid ons, Here, u genade en u seëning op elkeen van hulle af, in Jesus se naam. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Dankie, Johnny. Dankie julle. Julle mag julle sitplekke maar weer inneem. Thank you. It's my privilege to share God's word with you this morning as we take a couple of minutes to continue with our theme. Het almal mekaar gegroet. Hallelujah. Lucas, it's an honor and a privilege to have you here, sir. For those of you, Lucas, let's just give Lucas a round of applause. Everybody's welcome, but I've got the microphone, so I can choose who we give a round of applause to or not. I'd given my life to the Lord a couple of months earlier and had the privilege of God drew my last pass across the path of CMA and Bikers Church, and Lucas and his family were already involved in CMA. And Lucas is one of the men, he may or may not know it, but is responsible for mentoring me in those years and helping me to become the man of God that I am today. So, as jy probleem het met my, gaan sort het met hom uit. Lucas, it's an honor and privilege to have you here, sir. Thank you. Thanks you for coming and supporting Rory and Annalie. And so it's a blessing and privilege to have you. I trust that we're all going to receive what God has in store for us this morning. Our theme that we're busy with is courage. We're looking at the various areas in our lives where we need courage, and who can tell me what the theme scripture for courage is? By now you should be memorizing it. Speak to me, church. Okay. They don't yet have it, Lord. So here we go. I'm here to preach the good news, and it's 1 Chronicles 28:20, and it's up there on that banner on your right-hand side, my left-hand side, courage in the middle, and it says, be strong and courageous and do the work. As we look at your word this morning, thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you give it life. Father, the printed word that's on the pages of our Bibles or what we're looking at on our electronic screens will just be mere words unless you bring it life. I submit my mouth and my thoughts to your Lordship, Lord Jesus, and thank you that you're watching over your word to perform it, and thank you that it'll achieve the purposes for which you sent it forth. And our prayer is, Lord, that we not have a religious experience here this morning, but that we'll encounter the living God as you make your word alive in our spirits in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, this is a first. The water's busy draining as we speak. So there's some insects in the drain that are screaming, stop the floods, stop the floods. If anybody's brave enough and want to get in there and just put the plug back in that hole, you're more than welcome to do so, because it is rather distracting. So the plug's there, and if it continues, please just plug it for us. Okay, just to recap what we spoke about last week, if you were not here, we spoke about the concept of facing your demons. And the concept of facing your demons speaks about jy werk deur sekere goeters in jou lewe. There's challenges and there's things that you face. And we looked at the fact that life being life and the spirit being spirit and the natural world being the natural world. Okay, anybody, is there nobody brave enough? And a woman gets up to do it. Hallelujah. Where was I? You want to stay focused? I'm used to the voices talking to me, but that's the honest voice. The voices made me do it, officer. I'm feeling naughty this morning, so Lord help me. Let me just stay focused. And the spirit world being the spirit world, the natural world being the natural world, sometimes there are situations in life where we have to face the demonic. You can't say, I don't believe in it and I want nothing to do with it. You can't put your head in the ground like an ostrich and say, I can't see it, so that means it doesn't exist. No. We need to engage the demonic, and we looked at that and looked at the fact of a scripture challenges us to realize and learn and accept who we are in Christ Jesus. Understand the authority that we have in Christ Jesus and the fact that Jesus, through His completed work of the cross and Him fulfilling the promise of the Father, us getting the Holy Spirit, it needs the plug. It needs the plug. That's what I said. Somebody brave enough to get in there and just put the plug in. Where was I? Yes, we have the authority to overcome these demons, okay? If you're visiting here, things are a lot more organized at Bikers Church Vault Triangle, usually, hallelujah. So, that's what we looked at last week, hallelujah. Okay, if you need more on that, then you really need to just go onto our website at www.bikerschurchvault.co.za and have a listen to yourself, or just bring your flash drive to get the sound engineers to give it to you. This week, we're going to look at the courage to never give up. Everybody say, never give up. I've seen several pictures about never giving up as I've grown up over the years, and one of them is of this some kind of a serious bird, some kind of a pelican or thing with a long beak. It's already slicked a parakie amper heeltemal in, en al wat oorblij is die parakie se twee arms wat nog in die buitenkant van hierdie voel se beak is. And it's holding onto the bird's neck. And the saying is, never give up. Hallelujah. Never give up. But I have some questions I'd like to pose to you this morning as God has laid them on my heart. Are the pressures of life causing you to consider giving up in one way or another? Have you begun doubting if you really have what it takes to be successful in life? Whatever your definition of success is. We're in a continuous battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, and sometimes we get very tired from these battles. Now, I know charismatics who say, yeah, but our strength is from the Lord, and if you're trusting in Jesus, then you'll never get tired. Bull dust. Moving right along. We can physically, mentally, and spiritually be tired, and sometimes all at the same time. Because you are a spirit. You have a soul, which is the seat of your appetites, desires, emotions, and passions, and it's housed in a physical body. And when you're engaged in warfare, these things can sometimes make you tired. Is it not so, Robert? Dis waar, nee? Ons word soms moeg. Sometimes, maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you perhaps asking, What's the point of fighting and never quitting anyway? Why must I keep on keeping on? Is it really worthwhile? Well, God is using me this morning to tell you, yes, it is worthwhile. But for scriptural confirmation, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and then in verse 16, and it's all the quotations this morning is from the NLT, the second edition, except for one scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. This which we're engaged in, this ministry called CMA and Bikers Church, this ministry of called doing life as a Christian, that's a ministry. This ministry has been given to us by God. That's why we never give up. We never give up because it's not some man-made idea where somebody decided, kom ek sit 'n patch op my rug en dan gaan vertel ek vir my motorfietsvriende van Jesus. It's not a good idea or a manly idea. It's a God idea. Somebody say amen. Amen. And whatever area God has called you to minister, you've got that ministry from God. That's why it's a good idea to never give up. Dit is dit werd. It is worth it to never give up. And in verse 16 says, that is why we never give up. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. We had a discussion this week in the care group about the concept of sometimes you pray for people and God doesn't answer their prayers and the person dies. Sometimes we pray for people with illnesses or whatever and it gets worse. It's still worth it. Keep on keeping on. Because the truth is, the spirit, the physical body is busy dying. Hello? In spite of all the technology that is or isn't out there in the medical world. And here's the deal, folks. When it comes to laying hands on the sick and trusting God for healing, I believe it is a false doctrine and a misunderstanding in the body of Christ to believe the following. Are you listening? That any and every time we pray for somebody, they will always get healed regardless. The Bible does not teach that. Got it? Get it? Good. The Bible does not teach that. That every single time a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-preaching, demon-chasing believer lays hands on the sick, that they will always get healed. It does not teach that. It teaches the concept that God being God in His sovereignty, when the right circumstances are there and the right faith and it's His perfect will, according to what He sees completely, not what we see partially, there will be divine, miraculous, medically unexplainable, supernatural miracles of healings. Are we clear on that? But the fact remains, these folks, that no matter how much we try to look after our bodies, dis verganklik. You start dying from the moment you're born. You start dying from the moment you're born. And I'm a stickler for looking after my body. I know it doesn't look like it, but I do gym in my spare time. You can see I don't have a lot of spare time. But I try and look after myself, okay? The lining of your stomach is renewed every 7 days. The largest organ of your body, which is your skin, is renewed every 7 years. Your skeleton is renewed every 11 years. 10% of your heart is renewed every 4 years, or 4% every 10 years, whatever. So if our bodies are growing and being renewed all the time, surely, like if we look after it, they're going to last, right? Yes, but not forever. Because God's got something better. He's got bodies for us that don't get sick, that don't feel pain. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. Maar moet ons nie blind staar on this stuff? Are you okay with that? And sometimes our bodies get tired. And our souls get tired. And our spirits get weary. And we want to just give up and quit. My encouragement to you from the Lord this morning for all of us is don't quit, people. Don't quit. Can you say amen? Amen? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts. I love that. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Hallelujah. Reminder of that song from Ron Canole. You know why his surname's Canole? Because that oh, he can only sing. Eh? He says, we're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. Remember that, Lucas? How we used to sing that. Eh? And our praise and worship nights at One Way Wheelers, we're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. Ooh, I can feel a party coming on you. And that's it, when you share the words of God with people, it captures disobedient thoughts and makes them realize, hey, but Jesus has got a better way. That's what we do. And folks, sometimes that battle gets tough, man. I shared with somebody, I just love being real, you know. Some people would caution against it as a pastor. And I think it's, mens is dan geneig om jou op a pedestal to sit, but a pedestal is a lonely place and it's dangerous because there's no room for movement and freedom. One clips you and you're off, eh? Dan vang hulle a glij, omdat jy a glij gevang het. And so, I think it's important to just be real to people. Let them see that the blood that's in your veins is also red. It's not some supernatural pastor blood. Kere ook seer. And I was sharing my vulnerability, saying that I went through a season where I was tired. I got tired of going to day jail after day jail after day jail, after rally after rally, after outreach, speaking to people that don't want to hear what I have to say anyway and refuse to change. I got tired. I got tired and discouraged and despondent, and I had to feel the refreshing of the Lord again, saying, it is worthwhile, Mozzie. Don't you dare give up on any one of them, because Jesus didn't give up on you. Don't you dare give up. God will tell you when not to throw your pearls before the swans, but until such time, you preach until all know. You preach until all know. Hallelujah. Amen. And that was all I was really like, bring it on, Lord. Let's go tell the world about Jesus. So we share these thoughts with them and bring every thought into captivity. And then Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So those two scriptures serve to confirm the following. Folks, we're engaged in a spiritual battle in the heavenlies, as well as in a battle here on earth in the natural. Can you understand the concept? Meditate on those scriptures as God reveals it to you. So we see this, and sometimes we must fight against our own flesh and our own blood. We must fight against our own flesh and blood and our own stubborn will. I know none of you saintly, godly, anointed Jesus followers are like that. But I have this thing called my free will, which sometimes I wish I didn't have. And I'm going to say, are you going to do it the gospel according to Mozzie or the gospel according to Jesus? And I tell you what, folks, unless you have victory with that over that internal struggle, you're never going to be victorious out there. You're going to be one of those fake plastic Christians who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. You're going to be one of those undercover secret operative heavenly agents where on Sunday morning you come out with your church clothes and your church face and your church language and your church attitude. Hallelujah. And then on the way home, you treat your wife like whatever. You get home and you kick the dog like they bari fiat smut kom. You curse and you fluke and you hate anything and everything that moves. You're going to be one of those spineless, yellow-livered, wannabe plastic people of God. And because you go to church, you say, ek is 'n Christen. That's what you're going to be unless you have victory over that internal struggle of your own personal will. You see, it took Jesus 30 years to develop his private personal leadership. 3.5 to fulfill his public leadership and 12 hours to fulfill his heavenly destiny. So sometimes our battle is against ourselves. And we need victory there. Can you say amen? Amen? If we want the gospel to be tangible and real and the power of God to be real, it's got to be real to you, sir. Ma'am, it's got to be real to you. Do you know that He loves you? When last have you gotten excited about John 3:16? I can't say that scripture verse without getting emotional because I'm not over the fact that God so loved me. That He died for me so that I don't have to die and I can live forever. If it's not real and exciting to you, then how are you possibly going to give a message to somebody else? Met jou sier, lemoen gesig van, prys die Here. God is so goed vir my, ja. Halleluja. Ek is so opgewonde. How are you going to have a message that makes people want what you got? How are you going to have a contagious message wat gaan maak dat mense wil insaai hê in hierdie verhouding wat jy het met hierdie kastige lewendige God? If you don't have personal victory, come on, man. And I know it's so easy to stand here and get excited with a microphone and stuff like that, but it's real. I go through the stuff you go through. You face the challenges now. I look at my diary and the year plan. I think all the stuff that needs to be done. God has given me so much to do. I'm probably never going to die. And I get discouraged and I say, oh Lord, where? And I just, sê die kans kan sien vir persoonlike oorwinning hierso en hier. Hoe durf ek dit vir ander te kan verkondig en vertel? Is it making sense to you this morning, church? Is everybody with me? Are you learning something? Hallelujah. All right. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit has given us power over sin. You see, God and the Spirit in Jesus has set us free from the power of sin, but not the presence of sin. There's a difference. He set us free from the power of sin. We can have victory over the sin, and I prove it to you from Scripture. But the presence of sin is all around us, and sometimes we let it within us. Is it nie so, Herman? Dis waar, nee. Ja. So we need to let the Spirit move in our lives to be able to do that. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, so there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, soldiers that are engaged in warfare sometimes get tired. They can't just go out and fight. They need to regroup. They need to re-strategize. They need to reload, recharge, rethink, regroup. And they need to be charged up again. And it's like that with us. Sometimes this fighting is very, very tough, even though we do it in the strength of Jesus. Maar mense, dit is dit werd. Dit is dit werd. And if you read the end of the book, we win in the end. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. I love the way the Bible puts this. It says, so we tell others about Christ. Now, I just want to pause there. I want to make a whole sermon out of that, but God's not letting me. Just those words. So we tell others about Christ. At the chapter meeting on Friday night, for those of you at the chapter, would you please forgive me? I got a little bit hot under the collar. If you were there, you know what I mean. Maybe something for your aanduiding gegee that I'm passionate about telling people about Jesus. And I passionately explained myself in a way that's probably disrespectful to some. So please forgive me. And I challenged the chapter. The chapter is the soldiers that have said, yes, Lord, we will go and tell motorcyclists, their friends and families about Jesus. And I said, guys, let's give yourself a 12-month period. 12 months, a whole year, to lead one person to the Lord. One person to the Lord. I mean, lead a person to the Lord and start a discipleship process with them. If God gives us the privilege of discipling them through this house of faith, hallelujah, this anvins for us, but if not, just lead one person to the Lord in a year. So that this scripture can be true of you, we tell others about Christ. Because if you're not, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why is it so quiet now? You see, Jesus rescued you so that you can be a rescuer. You saved not just to skip the flames of hell, but that you can go and share the good news with others. Now, if you're not telling people about Jesus, my brother, my sister, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. You're not doing what Jesus has told you to do. And it's simple. Tell others about Jesus. Tell people your story. Yeah, but Mozzie, I'm shy and withdrawn and I can't speak. Yes, I know. I'm also like that. I get the dit and I get the. Well, stop making excuses. And use your story, jou persoonlike getuienis, begin daar. Revelation 12, 10. there or thereabouts. It says that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of our testimony. Your testimony has power. Share your story. I love it. Who is it? Niels, our care group leader. And he's doing such a sterling job, by the way. He says, straight like this, ek ken nie die Bybel nie, maar ek weet wat God vir my gedoen het. Ladies and gentlemen, that is powerful. That's powerful in anybody that can quote whatever and there's no living relationship with God. That's more powerful than some people. They've studied 7 years, they've got a degree, they stand achter councils, they called something, and they preach, but they don't know God. They've studied 7 years for a degree that says, ek ken nie Jesus nie, BA, Masters. That is more powerful than that useless piece of paper on the wall. Share your story. Like the blind guy who was healed. He says, you're asking me all these questions. I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I can see. So tell others about Christ. We're still at Colossians 1, 28 to 29. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in the relationship to Christ. That's why, and then he goes on to say, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I remember years ago, I was still a detective, and I used to have a glass blad op my lessenaar in my kantoor. And I stuck this scripture verse. I had my buddy could do calligraphy, and I got him to write it out in calligraphy, Colossians 1:29. I can do, the King James, New King James says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I used to come into the office and look at my cases all piled up on the desk, unable to solve a lot of them and not knowing where do I start, Lord? I got to bring justice here. And I just feel oppression. I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I used to say those words to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sorry, that was Philippians 4:13, but this one, working according to His energy, which works so mightily within me. I used to meditate on that. And because I used to say it, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. My ongehoorsame ore would hear the Word of God. It would travel from my head to my heart. I'd start to believe it in my spirit, and I'd have the strength to keep on keeping on and never give up. Hallelujah. But sometimes we still get tired. And when we feel like giving up and think we may be the only ones facing these battles, let's remember this. Maybe you're sitting here saying, oh, woe is me. You don't know my battles, Mozzie. And you're right. I don't want to know your battles. It's only belong on your stories. And I say that in love, and I'm going to explain why. Because I don't have the answer to your problem, ma'am. Jesus does. I can't fix you. I can't fix you. I can't fix myself. But I know the one who can. I know the one who can. I know the one who can. So if you think you're going through whatever and you're the only one on the earth that's going through this thing, well, let's see what the Bible says about that. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. They're no different from what others experience. Ja, maar Mozzie, jy ken nie my omstandighede nie. No, but God does. God knows your circumstances, my brother, my sister. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out. The New King James says He will show you the way of escape. He'll make the way. I like that because it's like specific. It's not like several options that may or may not work. We're going to try and get out of this. God says no. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I will show you the way of escape. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right, Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Everybody say, if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest of blessing. When will we get it, Lord? Well, why hasn't it happened yet? Hoeveel langer moet ek nog sukkel? How many more times must I pray, Mozzie, and ask, and thee and I? Well, I don't know. All I know is the scripture says, at just the right time. When we were doing ministry after church on Sunday afternoon last week, At the Biker for Biker charity, I was sharing with a brother that was sharing me where he is, sharing with me where he is in his walk with God, and he said this to me: God's time is always the best time. God's time is always the best time. And I thought, just I'm going to use that in a prayer. And guess what? I am today. And he said he's going to come to church, so I'm praying that he does. Kom ons kyk of hy 'n man van sy woord is en nie net 'n ja broer nie. Ja broer, ek sal daar wees. Ons wag nou nog. Anyway. Jesus became your rescuer so that you can become the rescuer of others with his message. Now here's the deal. And I'm starting to land this thing because I want to get on my motorcycle and ride as fast, I mean as obey the speed limits all the way to Midrand. Living for Jesus, living like Jesus and loving Jesus is not popular with those who oppose God's kingdom. Living for Jesus, living like Jesus and loving Jesus is not popular with those who oppose God's kingdom. So be mindful of that wanneer jy hierdie ding van Christenskap takel. This ministry is a non-denominational evangelical outreach ministry. We like going and telling people the good news. Okay? Now when you start contemplating that concept, which is a Jesus idea, just remember that living like Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus is not popular to the kingdom of darkness and those who embrace the kingdom of darkness. So moenie verwag that everybody is always going to embrace you all the time and you're always going to be well received. Don't expect that. In fact, I challenged myself and we've challenged each other here. If every place I ever go to always, 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 always receives with open arms what we have to say and is always glad to see us, I wonder, are we preaching the gospel the way Jesus preached it? Or am I just making friends under the guise of friendship evangelism? Because I just share with them what they want to hear. You see, Mark, do I love you enough to speak into your life and say, Mabut, that which you're doing, and by the way, Mark's not doing anything wrong, except he's not shooting enough. He's shooting way too little. Do I love you enough to speak into your life and say, Mabut, you know, do you think that what you're doing carries God's okay? Or do I just, hey, my buddy, how's it, my bra, my geine, sweet, ek sê lekker. Just all this warra, 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 warra. Got to get to the point in my life where I love the person enough to share. Listen, the path that you're on, I've been down there, it's a path of destruction. Can I pray with you? Let's work this thing out together with God. Nie a ding van ek wys vinger, Leonard, you're a muhu man, kom right, look at me. No. And say, yes, but you know, there's a better way of dealing with this thing. May I share it with you? You see, when you start to do that, not everybody's going to like what you have to say. Okay, I see it's gone over so many people's heads. God will just have to convince you of that there. So here we go. Mark 13:13 says, and everyone will hate you because you're my followers, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. He who endures till the end. You see, Christianity is like this. Christianity is not how fast and how furious you start. The name for the mountain bike team that I was part of this year, we called ourselves Fast and Furious. Because my partner's fast and I'm furious that I can't keep up. Hierdie ou kan bicycle ry, hoor. I say bobiene is like, I mean, say Kate, this is my bobiene. But so, how did I get to this? Fast and Furious. Oh, yes, yeah. He who endures till the end. Cycling has added a whole new meaning to the word endurance for me. And you can start out your walk with God so fast and furious. Is dit 'n lekker hallelujah, prys die Here en alles is wonderlik. And then life happens. The thing called life hits the fan. Is dit nie so, Gert? Jy kan getuig daaroor, né? Life happens. Speak to him and tell you how life happens. And then you want to just give up. But he who endures till the end, he who endures till the end will be saved. So jou getuienis vandag, hoe klink jou getuienis? Mosie, 25 jaar gelede het ek hierdie openbaring gekry van die Here waar hy die en daai gedoen is wonderlik en 17 jaar gelede het ek hierdie gedeelte in die skrif het soveel beteken en laas jaar nê het hier okay but what's happened this morning in your life with Jesus? Nothing. Oh, okay. What's happened in your life since last week's sermon? Do you have a life that's hidden with God in Christ Jesus? Colossians 3:3. Is it a vibrant, real thing? Or is it just, yeah. Must be a living relationship. A living relationship must be real and alive. He's alive. People say, wanneer last? Oh, I'm preaching far too long here. God, come on, man. Come on, Lord. Lord Jesus. Woo! Okay. Remain calm, Ozzy. Get to the end of the sermon. Here we go. There's a story in Genesis about Jacob that wrestles with God. And I'll give you the scripture reference. You don't have to turn there. Genesis 32, 24 to 26. And he wrestles with God. I mean, he wrestles with God. How many of you want God as an opponent? No way. Sometimes I'm very cautious of my wife, let alone God. But he wrestles with God. And he wrestles with God. And obviously God is way stronger than Jacob. But Jacob had something in him. There was a tenacity. Tenacity is like those dogs. Hulle byt and they get locked jaw. You can do what you want to them. Hulle gaan nie los nie. You just hang on to God. So God had to flick his hip out of joint. He had to take his hip out of its socket. And guess what? Jacob was never ever the same again. You see, Jacob had like a gangster style. Oh, hey, oh, you know, like hip to the, he's like the main man. So God just had to change things for Bicky. He refused to let go of God. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He didn't give up. He refused to give up. Are you pressing into something that God has for you, but you're a little bit tired of the wrestling? You see, it's not just the physical walk of Jacob that changed people. When people, you see, Jacob used to walk one way, now he's walking another way. It's like before you give your life to Jesus, you walked one way. Actually, main man. And then you realize you're not the main man anymore. And then maybe you walk in just a little bit of humility before God. He's gone on to be wherever he's gone on to be now. But Muhammad Ali, dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee. How many of you loved him as an athlete? He used to say, I am the greatest. And there was a time when Zero could rock and roll. He could, yes, there was a time when he was the greatest. At the end of his life, once he was experiencing the weight and the brunt of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, or he had one of the two or both, he used to say this. Now, regardless of his allegiance of faith, he learned this. You see, because whether you believe in God or not, you're going to face him. I said, whether you believe in God or not, you're going to face him. And Muhammad Ali said, before he died, he said, I've come to realize, and he's shaking like this, I'm not the greatest. God is the greatest. God is the greatest. But he was changed because of his ailment. And Jacob was changed. He was never the same again. And it was Ray Bevan, I believe, years ago preached. He said, never trust a man who doesn't have a limp in his walk. I limp today for several reasons. Because of motorbikes. Hallelujah. Sometimes, I know Charmaine, sometimes she asks Colette, why is Muzzy walking like that? Well, I wrestled with God and I refused to let go until he blessed me. And I hope and I pray and I trust by his grace that I walk differently today. You see, your walk of faith and your life's walk, is it different because of your encounter with God? Or do people not even know that you're a Christian? I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Men, we have this thing called egos. EGO is an acronym for edging God out. You edge God out of your psyche and your persona of who you think you are. And I like adventurous things. The things that interest me are the things that get my adrenaline pumping hard and fast, and I like it. And I'm in circles with men that have egos like me. And then I see that when those men are with me, Lord, let me choose words of life. When they're with me in church circles, they speak a certain way and they act a certain way. And then we get into other circles where it's otherwise not church circles. And then they speak a certain way and act a certain way. Their walk is different and their talk is different. And I say to some people, you know, you actually kind of messed up in your head. And they know me now. You know, I talk straight in love. You know, I didn't want to tell you, you actually messed up in your head. No, but how come? Because you're trying to respect me by not swearing. But you have no issues with swearing elsewhere when God hears everything you say anyway. You're bluffing yourself trying to respect me because I'm a pastor. Get real, man. Get real. Just get real. We need to endure till the end. And Jacob's life was changed forever. Jacob was willing to pay a price. Are you willing to pay the price this morning? Are you willing to pay the price to never give up? Are you? Okay. Let's see 5 years from now. 5 years. One of the saddest things in ministry is when people come and people go. I'll never get used to it because God has given me a pastor's heart. It's like a divorce every single time. People come and people go. And I understand that seasons and there's times and I understand that. But when God has called you to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, Psalm 1. I think it's Psalm 1. Anyway, it's in the Psalms. The trees of righteousness, the planting, God's planted you there. And then you decide, no, I'm going to uproot myself and I'm going to do my own thing. This heart is scared. This heart is scared. I never get over it. It's like, well, I understand. We are one spirit, one body. It's like, it's a part of your spirit being ripped out. And just, the heart, it just goes. People just go and footer voort and dan doen hulle hulle eie ding. Are you willing to pay the price to never give up? And I tell you why, as I start to land this thing, we need to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly. Everybody say, hold tightly. Hold tightly. Hold tightly the eternal life to which God has called you, which you've confessed so well before many witnesses. As the deep end comes up, listen to this. Jesus never gave up on us. He had an opportunity to. Don't think that because, yeah, well, he had an unfair advantage because he's God and he had all the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, all the time, all at once. So because he's that, it was easier for him. No. The scripture says, he was tempted in all things just like we are, but overcame them all. Because he chose to do the will of his Father, not his own will. You see, Jesus had a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You're sitting here this morning. Jesus had a choice to give up. Jesus had a choice to tap out and say, I can't hear me. These guys don't want to listen to me anyway, God. They're about to slag me and nail me to a cross. Let's just call it quits now. I want to pull the plug on this lot, Lord. Jesus could have done that. And he did not. Jesus never gave up on you. Not one of you. And he's never ever going to give up on you. And he's not about to give up on you. So the question is, what are you going to do, sir? Ma'am? Think carefully before you answer that. You see, God is, he's kind of into promises. He's kind of like he smokes covenants. God loves it when people say, Lord, I give you my word. Because when God says, I give you my word, it means something. So, are you going to make a commitment this morning? Nie teenoor Bikers Church of Sema of enige ander dominee of predikant of organisasie or whatever. But as unto the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm never going to give up. Not because I'm overly confident or proud or ek sit my geloof en my vertroue in my eie vermoë nie, maar Here, U het gesê, U sal my nooit verlaat nie of nooit laat vergaan nie. Lord, you'll never let anybody take me out of your hands, Lord, and I'm going to hold on to you, Lord God, as long as I can, and when I can't, you're going to hold on to me, Lord. And before you make that commitment this morning, think about it. Think about it. Say, Lord, I'm not going to give up. Jesus never gave up in the garden in Matthew 26:39. He says he went a little farther and fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And what was it? Last thought, and then I'm done. Then we're going to pray. Last thought. What was it that was going through Jesus' mind in the garden? Remember, he's on earth for just over 3.5 years now, there or thereabouts. He knows he's about to be betrayed by his best buddies. He knows what's coming. He knows. Hulle gaan sy liggaam martel. Charles, jy like hy woord, nee. He knows his body is going to be abused. He's going to be beaten. He knows that he's going to become the sin for the whole world. He knows all of this. He knows that for the first time in forever, the first time in forever, Daddy God is going to turn his back on him so that Daddy never has to turn his back on us. He knows that. And he still doesn't give up. Why? Why? You know what was on Jesus' mind? It wasn't the pain. It wasn't the suffering. It wasn't because he knew it all. I submit to you this, that when he was on his knees in the garden and he felt the sweat and blood running down his face and he watched it drip into the soil of Gethsemane, and he must have been looking at his hands thinking, nails are going to go through here and a sword here, a crown of thorns here. He's wiping his brow with a sweat. You know what was on his mind? Us. Us here this morning. We were on his mind. That's why he never gave up. Jesus didn't want his home called heaven without us. He'd rather leave heaven to come and get us. Is dit rede genoeg vir jou vanoggend om te sê, Lord, I'm not going to give up? The scripture says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to read it to you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, and the King James says the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Church, the reason why Jesus never gave up is because you were on his mind. You were on his mind. So the question is this morning, are you willing to make that kind of commitment to the Lord and never give up on the call that he's placed on your life? Maybe you're seated here this morning and you know that God has called you to a different life, but you've ignored it up to now. I want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're seated here this morning and you've responded to that call of God on your life, but you've gotten a little bit tired and weary and you just need that strength and refreshment of the Holy Spirit again. I want to pray for you as well. Maybe you've never made a commitment to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, and to follow Jesus. If that is you, maybe you've never made that commitment. Now I want to especially pray for you this morning. So if you fall into any one of those three categories, any one of them, stand up, please. Somebody must fall in one of them, or else Intercessors, continue to pray, please. I'm going to pray first and foremost this morning. Maybe you've engaged this battle called life and you're feeling the weariness of being a soldier. And you need the refreshment from the Lord. And the scripture says that times of refreshing comes from time spent in the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, from verse 16, thereabouts. Times of refreshing comes from time spent in the presence of the Lord. And so, Lord, for every soldier this morning, every man, woman, and child of God that is just physically, spiritually, or mentally tired, pray, Spirit of God, that you breathe new life into them now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Would you strengthen tired bodies, Lord God, and help us to look after our bodies better? Would you strengthen tired souls, Lord God, that are filled with the busyness of what life has to have, has to offer, and the pressures of social media and all sorts of busyness that keeps our mind occupied with facts and useless information. Would you refresh those souls and would you clear those minds, Lord? In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. For those who are tired spiritually, Lord, Spirit of God, come and revitalize them like only you can in the name of Jesus. And for those, Lord God, that have chosen to live like you and to follow you and to love like you, Lord God, and realize that you've called them, Lord God, but have let me gevol hard om daai pad te volg. Lord, would you encourage them? Would you strengthen them, Lord God, and just show them, Lord God, the blessing that there is in choosing to live a life that's surrendered to you. Lord, would you show them and teach it to them in a way that no preacher can, that no sermon can, Lord God? Would you speak your truth personally into their hearts in the name of Jesus? And then, Lord, those that have stood up because they've never chosen to live like you and to love like you and to follow you, I pray for them right now, Lord. And if that's you this morning, right there where you stand in your heart, where you can whisper it to yourself, Johnny, steer aan die mense rondom jou nie. I want you to follow me in this prayer this morning as you pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I present my whole life to you, body, soul, and spirit. All that I am and all that I have, I surrender this morning to your Lordship. Jesus Christ, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe in my heart that you died and rose again, and your blood was shed to pay the price for my sins. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me, wash me clean, make me whole and new. And I make a commitment this morning, Lord, to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that by your Spirit, from this morning on, I will live for you, I will love like you, and I will follow you all the days of my life until you come to take me home or we meet with you in glory. And if you've prayed that prayer, I pray that the Spirit of God fills you, that you open up your life to that commitment. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, excuse me, and you come from another church, go to your pastor, go to your reverend, go to your dominie, whoever it is, and just tell them what happened. Tell them there, your church, what has happened. And if you don't have a church, then speak to one of us. I'm not asking you to join this church. I don't want you in this church unless God wants you here. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, then speak to one of us. We'd love to help you and pray with you and help you understand and to live out that commitment, that it's not just an emotional religious thing to do one morning on a Sunday, but that you live out that commitment. And for the rest of us, I thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word and that it'll achieve the purposes which you spoke it into our heart this morning. Lord, I ask that you forgive me for taking longer than I should have, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that the Almighty God keep you and bless you, and God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you for visiting with us this morning.